Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa Harris Perry, and this is The Takeaway. Now, a little confession. During the first few weeks of the COVID-19 pandemic, I binge-watched all four seasons of the National Geographic Channel's Doomsday Preppers. The show focuses on a subculture of people who spend significant time and money preparing for pretty unlikely apocalyptic scenarios.
Jerry designed his biofortress specifically to keep pathogens out, but he isn't just concerned about contaminants. He's also worried about people.
Yeah, I know. It's paranoia porn. But in the early days of quarantine, many of us felt a little paranoid. It was my Eagle Scout spouse who finally convinced me that reality TV was a poor disaster preparation strategy. So we used my quarantine-induced preparedness paranoia to work on a real plan of action for our family, friends, and neighbors in case of a serious weather event. So, do you have a go bag if you need to bug out? Do you have an essentials kit prepared? Have you thought about what you would bring and what you would leave? If not, relax, we got you. Get out your notepad and get ready to take some notes. Here to give us some advice on prepping an emergency go bag is Tricia Wackendorf, who is director of the Disaster Research Center and professor of sociology at the University of Delaware. Tricia, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me here today.
So let's start. What should everybody have in their emergency go bag or kit?
So one of the things that I like to think about with a kit or a go bag is that it has a lot of flexibility to it. Some of these things might be best be stored in a backpack or what we think of when we Google the word go bag, but other things might be strategically placed like in your car if you have one or in a desk drawer if needed. If you go to FEMA or the Red Cross or your state emergency management agency, but there's 10 general categories that I usually talk about or think about. So top on that list should be information and documentation. Copies of our ID, people and pet vaccination records, financial information, insurance information, prescriptions. And then having a backup that's accessible if you forget or lose it, even if it's encrypted somewhere, is vital. Second, if you happen to be evacuating in your vehicle, do you have supplies? So that's a spare tire, names of your roadside assistant plan, a full tank of gas, jumper cables, flares, the kinds of things that we really should have in our car routinely and sometimes don't. Third, having cash on hand. If you can. So sometimes people lose their credit card or they're in an area where the power's out and they can't use their Apple Pay or their credit card. Medical supplies and hygiene items, such as first aid kits, but also those prescriptions or non-prescription medications. Some people have health or disability issues that they live with, so assistive technology equipment if they require it. Diapers, a few rolls of toilet paper. Some non-perishable food and water. Clothing and warmth. So a blanket and pillow are good items to have, as are lightweight survival blankets. A radio for some updates and some kind of lighting like a flashlight or those bright sticks or matches. And three more. So there's items like a pad of paper and pens that can be useful, especially if your phone dies. A deck of cards to pass the time. And if you have kids, something to entertain them is really important. Having your cell phone, extra chargers, adapters, even sometimes having an old phone or a tablet in your go bag. And then the final category is to think about unique circumstances. Hand sanitizer and wipes. That's particularly so now. Having extra masks is really important. Also, other unique circumstances, like is there a baby in your home? Do you have pets in your household? There's a lot of research that suggests that people often delay evacuation because of their pets. So lots of different things that we can start thinking about to make sure our family is safe if we have to leave during a very stressful time.
First of all, that's an amazing list. I love that. But what about sort of the communication aspects, the planning aspect? What if the weather event hits or the disaster of some kind hits while, you know, kids are at school and adults are at work? You know, maybe the older, parent is home for the day. How do we make sure we have a plan in addition to the items that we need?
Yeah, so often in the disaster research community, we talk about the planning process being more important than the plan itself. That's true if you talk about a community, if you talk about a household. So having these conversations in your home, where do we have the go bag? What's in it? Have we updated it recently? What are some things that we can have offsite? You know, I mentioned that aspect about the important documentation. If you have a close family member where you can have a jump drive and you have that information scanned, that's going to be really important if you can't get back home in time. Having some of those items near the door where everybody knows they can just grab it and go is key. If there's just one member of the household who knows that, that's not going to be really useful if, as you said, grandma's at home taking care of the grandkids while someone is out.
What about neighbors? Should we be having the same conversation with, you know, our floor, you know, in our apartment building or our block in our neighborhood?
Those kind of connections that we build, again, routinely are really important. When you start thinking about somebody who's down the hall from you or down the block from you who might need extra help, being able to check on them and make sure that they're okay. But it's also knowing sometimes what other resources someone might have that might be able to help out somebody who doesn't have that. Does somebody need someone else to bring some extra things in their car if they only have one, their neighbor has two? Does someone need help going down the stairs or the elevator carrying the things that they have? One of the things that's also related to is thinking about our household and how that connects to others. There's a lot of people who will rely on others to evacuate them. Maybe you have an elderly parent who lives across town, who's living on their own, but they're not going to be able to evacuate themselves. Do you have what they need? Have you worked with them to put together some stuff that's in a closet near the front door, the back door? Trying to understand who might rely on us and how we can be helpful.
I think one of the biggest lessons I will take from this conversation is the idea that the process is as important as the plan itself, right? That it's worth having these conversations and not presuming that, we've never had a disaster before, but instead like saying that we need to think about it and talk about it and create that process doesn't have to create paranoia. It can just create preparation. Thank you so much, Tricia Wackendorf, for talking with us about this critical issue. Tricia Wackendorf is the director of the Disaster Research Center and a professor of sociology at the University of Delaware. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Teresa from Kingfisher, Oklahoma, and we have been responding to natural disasters for years. My response plan for ordinary natural disasters is to shelter in place and wait for service to be restored. I would like to say I have a go bag ready if necessary, but I haven't gotten to that yet.
Hi, this is Jeremy Larson. I live in Dallas, Texas. This past year's winter storm had me alarmed that state leadership was so ill-prepared to help its own citizens. We were literally left in the dark. Since then, we've bought bottled water, clay pots, and candles to help us keep warm in the event of power loss. It was a real eye-opener and a disappointment, period.
I really don't have a plan. I'm not sure what plans my community has for disasters, but I don't really live in an area with flooding or tornadoes or forest fires or earthquakes. The biggest problem we face are blizzards and snowstorms, in which case most people just hunker down, let the snowplows do the job. Alec Lawler, Mentor, Ohio.
This is Jane in Tigard, Oregon. I think that it's very important to have something organized in any community. I belong to an HOA neighborhood of 93 townhomes. I'm a member of CERT and need to get my skills updated. But I think the most important thing is that the June heat wave taught us a lot. There's much more to various disasters, though. For instance, I'm really surprised at how many people have no idea how to shut off the water or gas to their own homes. It's kind of scary, actually.
Want to add your voice to our program? Sign up for our Listener Response Network. Just text the word START to 70101. Again, that's START to the number 70101. As always, standard data and messaging rates may apply. You can text the word STOP anytime to opt out.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.